they received a forged letter that came to them in Paul's name that told them that the coming of the Lord had came and went, and they were now in the tribulation period. The day of the Lord had came. They believed it. They sent for Paul. What do we do now? You know, and Paul wrote them the letter that we have in 2 Thessalonians. And he wrote back to explain to them that that is impossible for the Lord to come back and leave you here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's the comfort that we have. He wrote back to tell them. And that's exactly what he says. What happens during the tribulation period is impossible for you to be here and it to be going on. And in this three chapter book, which I guess we can be glad that that happened because we have more revelation, we have more truth, we have more here that helps us. It gave the second part of the story, the rest of the story, as Brother Barrel said. It gave the whole picture. And the coming of the Lord is a very confused doctrine. But if you understand it and understand each book and take them together like the pieces of a puzzle, you'll understand. Daniel. A lot of people don't believe in this part of the country right on the doctrine of the second coming. They literally don't believe right. I could stand up here and talk about that, and I don't even want to depress myself. But they do. They'll talk out of this book, and now they'll just, that's all they know. What about Daniel? What about Revelation? What about Matthew? Matthew's a huge book on the coming of the Lord and dispensational truth. But they never mention anything out of Matthew. Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse. And in 1 and 2 Thessalonians are crucial books that through all this you get the full picture. The tribulation period is the period of time that happens between the rapture of the church, 7 years long at least, until the coming of the Lord back in the revelation to establish His rule and government, throw down all wickedness. So, when Paul wrote this book, he wanted to explain to them that the church cannot go through the tribulation period. You're never going to see it. You're never going to touch that time period. You'll never see it. Like I said, I've taught on this here before, but bear with me. I think it could help us. This book and this chapter has been an encouragement to me in the last few months. Just looking at how bad things have gotten. I mean, deception is on every hand. To stand for truth is just, to them, is just wrong. You know how it is. And the more I have continued on, I needed some encouragement. And the Lord's really encouraged me out of this chapter. It did its job again. When you look around and days are getting dark, this chapter can pick you up. And Paul wrote the first chapter just to encourage them. The third chapter just to help them out with some stuff, instruct them. This chapter 2 that we're going to look at tonight is the meat of what Paul wanted to say to them. It's this chapter. He wrapped it. It's the high point in this book of 2 Thessalonians. And he explains to them, how could you all thought that the Lord had come back? That's basically what he said. You know, I'm paraphrasing. How could you have thought that? How could you be deceived to think that? And he begins to explain to them. And he even goes down here in verse 5. He says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? He says, I thought we went over that. I thought we went over that. Where did you get that? You know, it's like somebody said one time, when you got rebuked by Paul, you got rebuked. Amen. And Paul writes him and says, I went over that. We had that class. We went over the coming of the Lord and its aspects and what you were to expect. And you had every hope of being raptured out of here. That's what they believed in chapter 2. This church at Thessalonica had every thought that they were going out of here before that tribulation period ever begun. That's the only hope they had. That is what they believed. There's no confusion about that. If you understand these books, you get it. That is all they believed. They believed without one doubt before the tribulation period ever begun, 1 second of it, they would be raptured out of here and gone. So that's why when they believed it had came, they were troubled. We'll talk more about that as we get down through this chapter. They were troubled over that. Now, if they were looking for the Lord to come back after the tribulation period and it had begun, wouldn't they be that much step closer to it? That would be an encouragement, right? Okay, the prophecies are at hand. The Lord's on His way back. Get ready. That's not what they were. They were distraught and terribly discouraged because they believed we're going out of here. We're going to escape it. The church had a miraculous beginning, and I promise you it's going to have a miraculous ending.
Amen.
We're going out of here. And the stage is being set. I'll tell you one thing I'm going to start studying. Before I left today, Brother Jacob asked me about a book. He said, "You got a certain book I need?" I said, "Yeah, let me get it out." And I went down there and dug, found what he wanted. And there, laying there, was my Clarence Larkin book on Daniel. Whew, I got it. I'm going to study up that man of sin. I believe he's already on the scene. Amen. I'm not looking for him. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. He's not going to be revealed until his time. But I'm going to try to understand more about that kingdom and that system. One of these days, we may teach through the book of Daniel. Amen. Now, I'm not looking for him. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm not going to go home and try to figure out who he is. I'm looking for the real Christ. Amen.
Amen.
He's the only one I'm looking for.
Amen.
So that's the timeline of this book, 2 Thessalonians. It's very important that you understand this. I tell you, it's getting harder and harder to find people, Brother Silas, that believe right on the coming of the Lord. They don't understand their Bible. Gross ignorance is on the scene. The standpoint of the coming of the Lord and understanding books like this 2 Thessalonians, laying them out in their context, are important to understanding. If you understand this chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, I don't think you can, you ain't going to get far off. If you just understand this, it takes care of a lot. There's people I work with that believe the church is going through the tribulation period. There's people I work with that do. They would argue with you, and I've had them tell me, all that tribulation period in the Bible, that ain't nothing, but when I went on out on the altar, got down on my knees, the Lord had me under the great tribulation, and I got saved. And I'm like, now what? You know, woo, boy, you got to think a long time come up with that. That's not in your Bible, amen. And they're confused on it, confused. And our Bible doctrine books mention people confusing the coming of the Lord, comparing it to a person getting saved. That's not Scripture. But you can understand it. I've had Mormons want to argue with me over the coming of the Lord. I've had them tell me the church is going to go through the tribulation. The church is going to go through it. They believe in the tribulation. The church is going through it. I said, "Guys, have you read 2 Thessalonians 2? "Yeah, I like that book." I said, "Let's go over to it." And I took them down through here, chop, 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 showed them points where Paul says, "You cannot go through it. You cannot." And they never heard that before because that's teaching that they didn't know. So chapter number 2, but if you understand it, you get what these people had. It gives you that confidence, that understanding. So bear with me. Pray for me because I want us to get it. I want us to understand that this coming of the Lord as revealed here in 2 Thessalonians. Brother Barry he wanted us to go over this to assure us once again. And we don't know what we're going to face in the next few years. We don't know. We really don't know. It's, but we have hope that the Lord's coming and He is restraining evil. We're going to find that out. That He will not be revealed until that time. The man of sin, the Antichrist, it'll not be revealed. So whatever the devil's doing, however far it goes, it's just that much closer to the Lord coming back. Amen. We can look at it in a different light. Them guys I work with all come up and tell me something negative, negative, negative. You know how people do negative, this, that, and the other. And I told one today, he came up and started barking at me today. Good friend of mine, love him to death. He came up, it's bad, this, that, and the other. What are we going to do? And I said, Jesus is fixing to come. Jesus is fixing to come. I said, that's exactly what's going to happen. I said, we're going to leave this mess to the Antichrist and we're going out of here. I said, that's exactly where we're going. And the more I see that, the more your heart can just lift up and look up because He's coming soon. I tell you, He's coming soon. So chapter number 2, the church will not go through the tribulation period. We will never see a minute of Daniel's 70th week. Amen. This is elementary truth. But I tell you, there's people that need to hear this. They have no clue. There's some people out there, if they just had this, they might get some help. That's the truth. The first thing that Paul tells them, the that you're not going to touch the tribulation period. It'll never put its hands on you, not for one second. It's found in verses 1 and 2. Sudden rapture. The sudden rapture that we're waiting on. Look at verses 1 and 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our what? Gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. That word day of Christ there, that means the day of the Lord, the time of judgment. And that's the word you have there in verse 2. It's speaking of this time of judgment. He said you shouldn't be troubled over this coming that you see coming. He says you shouldn't be troubled by it. And the first thing he appeals to is a sudden rapture. That sudden rapture in verses 1 and 2 is found in the prospect of deliverance. See, he appeals back to that promise. Paul says, I've already told you, and the first thing I need to appeal to you to remember is the rapture. You have the hope of being snatched away. So the first thing he does is brings their mind back to that thought. Remember what we talked about and what we had went over is that the church is going to have a miraculous ending, and that hasn't came. I believe if it came, we'd know it. Amen. Amen. That's an understatement, ain't it? Amen. I said that just, you know, as a joke. But we have the prospect of deliverance. Number two, the plea against deception. He says, you shouldn't be discouraged. You shouldn't be defeated over this. The day of Christ, it's not at hand. That word at hand means has arrived. It's not here. Paul says, it's not here. So let's go on. The word shaken, he says, that they were having trouble with here, means to move to and fro, to agitate. That's what it means. Troubled means to cry aloud, to wail, to be frightened, to make a clamor. So, to be delivered from the day of the Lord is the only hope for comfort. To miss the rapture, definitely, would be a time to wail, which is what the word was used there. So what he's saying, these people were terribly discouraged, terribly defeated, because they had the hopes and promises of being pulled out of here completely before any of this ever happened, and they believed it was on the scene. So Paul appeals to them, first of all, you cannot go through the tribulation period because you're expecting a sudden rapture. That's the first thing. And there's a lot of words that go with that. Over in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul ends that statement there in verse 18 with that statement of the coming of the Lord. He says, wherefore comfort you one another with these words. If we were going to see 1 minute of the great tribulation, where's the comfort at? How is it a blessed hope? Titus chapter 2. If we're to see 1 minute of it, how is it a blessed hope? It's an enduring hope, if that's the case. Because Matthew 24, speaking of the time of the great tribulation, which is the words of our Lord, he said, they that to endure to the end, the same shall be saved. It's going to be a time of tremendous endurance. We're not enduring. We're enjoying. We're looking for that upper taker. It's going to take us up. We're looking for that escape, that deliverance. We're looking for it. Paul brings to mind their hope in the rapture of the church. They were defeated over this thought of the rapture being taken away from them in a threefold web of deception. He says here that you be not soon shaken in mind of trouble, neither by spirit, that means a spiritual utterance, a revelation, means a false prophecy is what it means, a lying message. Someone came in and to the church, testified in the spirit. This is before the Bible was completed, the early church, when people still testified in revelations and testified. That's true. The coming of the Lord has already came. Paul said, I don't care what they come in and tell you. The rapture hadn't happened. And that's what he's appealing back to. He says, you have to discern those spirits and try them to see whether they be of God. That's the New Testament method, especially before our Bible was completed. They had to try the spirits. That's that word. Try those spirits. This is, he says, if they come in by spirit and say they've got a prophecy or something, don't trust it. Word, he says, neither by spirit nor by word. That word word means doctrine, teaching, claiming to be true. No matter how fluent they get up and teach what they say, no matter. Coming to the Lord hadn't came. That's what Paul's trying to tell them. Or by letter. That word letter, it means as if. He had written it, a forged letter. That word letter, epistle. You know, we hear the epistles of the New Testament. Those were letters that were written, personal letters. Paul said, if they do send a letter, it don't matter. I told you what was supposed to happen. I told you that that is what you're looking for. Not any form or teaching of doctrine. You're looking for the coming of the Lord. So a sudden rapture is the first point. We cannot go through the tribulation period because we expect a sudden rapture. We expect deliverance. We'll get into that deeper. Hang on. Secondly, a scriptural revelation. Verses 3 through 5. Let's read those. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Paul says, first of all, you're not going to go through the tribulation period at all, ever, because you're expecting a sudden rapture. You got that faith that deliverance is coming. Secondly, he refers back to Scripture. He says, did I not tell you these things? You know, the great apostle, he says, we went over that. And he makes an appeal to them. And then he takes them down through some prophecy. He says, let no man deceive you by any means. I don't care what they say to you. The tribulation period is not going to come until, first of all, the man of sin is revealed. And he's not here. So what are you upset about? That's basically what Paul's saying. What are you tore up about? He's not on the scene. Amen? And then he goes down through and gives them some prophecy. He says that there come a falling away first, and a man of sin be revealed. Who is he? The son of perdition. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So what is the Antichrist going to do? He takes them back through and gives them some more truth about him. We've went over this before. I preached a night or two on this, and you heard it and received it well. Why are you confused? I told you that when the tribulation period comes, the Antichrist will set himself up on the ruling throne, and he'll sit upon the throne, our Zion, and he'll set himself up as an image in the temple, and all will worship him and look to him, and everybody's going to admire or revere him. Where's he at? He's not there. Calm down. That's what Paul's saying to him. Calm down. He's not there. The man of sin has not been revealed. Amen. You've got to think today about the man of sin here, the son of perdition. He's called. What's he going to be like? You know, and we're not really care about him. I'll never see him nor know who he is and don't care. I could care less who he is. But the world's going to be deceived by him. And that's who I want to help. Amen, Brother Silas. And some of his workings are already on the scene. You can go down through here and read that spirit of iniquity doth already work. We know that. So there's already some things, some groundwork's being laid. But, you know, I got to thinking about it. I don't know all about it. Hope to teach it one day. But I got thinking about him. He'd be kind of like Hitler that could do miracles. I'd say he's pretty convincing, wouldn't you? Amen. He'd be like Stalin that could raise the dead. No wonder they flocked to him. Amen. He's going to have all the minds of all those false teachers that's raised up doctrines and followings. He's going to be all wrapped up into one. Amen. Nobody of that caliber on the scene. Amen. He's going to be the hopes The Lord Jesus is the hope of the church. The Antichrist, in simplified terms, he'll be the hope of the world.
Right.
If you're in this world long enough, you'll know what I'm talking about. That's their hope. That's their ideas. What is it? It's exactly what is found in verse 4. An opposition to God.
Right.
An opposition to God. An exalted who? Himself. We just read that in verse 4. He exalted himself. He's a humanist. He believes in humanism lifted to its highest degree. Humanism and all of its teaching. The doctrines of Freud. And all the great evolution teaching that lifts man. Puts man on the highest degree. He'll be all those wrapped up into one. Paul said that's not on the scene. It's not here. And that's not on the scene. And you can take that to understand it. Now, scriptural revelation is what Paul appeals to. Paul appeals to scriptural teachings to assure them. These type of teachings will help us also. They have been pulled away from what they've been taught. Paul lets them know that. Did I not tell you these things? Paul said, we went over this. We covered that. I don't know what you're confused about. And there's some other verses over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. It's a very important verse. You can read verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians 5. I'd recommend you turn over there because there is an exact promise that Paul says you will never see the tribulation period. If that's all we had, we've got enough. That's all we had, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, that's the tribulation period, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul appealed to a sudden rapture, and he appealed to scriptural revelation. How do I know that I'm not going to ever see 1 second of Daniel's 70th week or the tribulation period, however you want to determine it, time of Jacob's trouble? How do I know that? 1 Thessalonians 5:9 is enough. I know from that he has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation. That word salvation means deliverance. That's the deliverance we're looking for from the presence of sin. Boom. Paul says God's not appointed his church unto wrath. And we'll go on down through here. We'll find out more about that. Now, I've taught this before here, and I hope you're not bored with it. But revelation of Scripture teaches that we will not go through the tribulation period. I hope you see what I'm saying. There's also Revelation 3, talking to the church at Ephesus. Revelation chapter number 3. You don't have to turn over there. Revelation chapter 3. He makes the promise there to the church. He said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon all the earth. He says in verse 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou had, that no man take thy crown. He says right here, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation that shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. There's another promise to that church. The church there. He says, you will not go through. I will keep you from that hour. He says, I'll take you out. I promise you. That's a promise from God. That's scriptural revelation. How do you know you're not going to go through 1 second of the tribulation period? Because of a sudden rapture and scriptural revelation. Amen. That's what he says here. So he gives them some stuff. I'll take you through this real quick. First of all, he shows them in verses 3 and 4 that prophecy is revealed. He gives them prophecy of what's going to happen in that time. And that also points, well, I'll get to that. And preaching is remembered. So its prophecy is revealed in verse 5. He said, remember it. Remember, I told you that. And there I made some points that are found down through here that you don't see on the scene today. Removing from the truth. That's mentioned more in this chapter. We'll get to it real quick. The revealing of the man of sin. The reincarnate Satan. That's what that man of sin will be. He'll be indwelt by the spirit of Satan and be... He'll just be Satan in flesh, ruling like Satan's always wanted to do. Rebellion. It's going to be a time of great rebellion. Is this not a day of rebellion? Is this not a day of rebellion?
Amen.
Yes, it is. Amen. This is a day of rebellion. Everything. People are rebelling. It's just setting the scene for that one great worldwide rebellion that's going to take place, led by Him. Rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. Now that's important because He says right here that He's going to be worshipped. He'll set Himself up in the temple of God, showing in Him that He is God. That right there alludes to the fact of a change in dispensation. When the church goes out, that temple in Jerusalem will again be the emphasis. It's going to turn back. See, that's a change in dispensation. And that's on the scene today. You see a lot more emphasis upon those type things. Revival of Jewish worship, that's going to happen. It's already happening. Big revival of Jewish worship worldwide. And a revised dispensation. It's going to change. So we see sudden rapture, a scriptural revelation. Number three, back to our main points of it, the Spirit's restraining. The Spirit's restraining promises us we will never go through the tribulation period. Verses 6 and 7. Let's read them because we haven't read them yet. And now you know what withholdeth, that He might be revealed in His time. Now, who's He talking about there being revealed? Back to verse 3, the son of perdition, the man of sin. Verse 6, and you know what withholdeth that He might be revealed in His time. Paul says, now you know what is keeping Him off the scene. He cannot be revealed as long as this stands in His way. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That word letteth means to restrain. There's something holding him back. And as long as it's here, he'll never be revealed. It'll have to be taken away for him to be revealed. What is that? It's mentioned right there. It's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He is restraining that Antichrist from being revealed. The devil would reveal him if he could. There's no doubt he would. He would take it as far as he could. That's what helped me the other day when I realized all this mess is happening, all these horrible things, and I hate to stand back and talk about that. I don't want ever, you know. But to see it all on the scene, and I just, you know, you get defeated. I just like, whew, it's just going away at every scene. And I thought from this scripture, no. The Holy Spirit is letting. He is restraining. He's restraining. The devil don't go one toke over the line. The Holy Spirit is still in the way.
Amen.
He's still rebuking him and putting him back in his place. No, that Antichrist is not coming on the scene. He's not going to do one thing till the Holy Spirit tells him he can.
Amen.
Now, so what's that mean to us? The Spirit's restraining. So that means two things. Power of the Spirit, verse 6, is mentioned in verse 6. He's withholding, the Bible says here in verse 6. Verse 7, he will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse 7, the presence of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit, verse 6, the presence of the Spirit, verse 7. He's an omniscient being, all powerful. The devil is no match. The devil would like to reveal his kingdom and go on with it. But the Holy Spirit stands in the way. Just like in the book of Job when the devil said, but you got a hedge about him. That's what he has to complain of today. The Holy Spirit standing there in that way saying, nope, 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 buddy. Back up. It's not time. It's not time. You will not do one thing until... So he has to be taken out of the way. That's what it says, verse 7, right? So we're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Sealed means sealed. So what does that mean? When is the Holy Spirit going to be taken out of the way? The rapture of the church. He's going out with us. Amen. He started the church. They could not witness Brother Silas until they were endued with power from on high. The Holy Spirit was responsible for the first person saved. Jesus said, don't do anything till He gets there. He was responsible for the first. He'll be responsible for the last. And He's going to personally deliver that bride and land it right there and say, there they are. I brought them safe and sound.
Amen.
Amen. And the Antichrist can't do anything until he goes. When he goes, he's taking us.
That's right.
We're sealed. We go together. Amen. That's good right there. That blesses me. He will deliver that bride safely there. And the Father will look at the bride, present it to Him, and tell the Holy Spirit, you did a good job. Good job. You brought it in. And there's types of that in Scripture too. Amen. See, if I'd had more time, if Brother Barry didn't get a hold of him at 10 o'clock last night, I could have went over here and got over in Genesis. We could have looked at Rebecca being brought on that camel back to Isaac. And Isaac looking at her. And Abraham. I'm sure Abraham, a type of the father, took that servant aside and said, you got the right one. Huh? Did he not? I guarantee you he did. He said, now you go find her. Take an oath of me that you bring back my seed. You go get a daughter, a bride for my son. He had to entrust him to it, didn't he? That was the Spirit's job, the servant. He doesn't speak of himself. He's a picture of the servant. The servant rode across the desert on his own and went over to a foreign land to get a woman and find her who had never found, seen a man and fall in love with him and deliver her back to him safely. That was his job. And along the way, he revealed Isaac unto her. You know, we talk about that before. You know that story. Genesis 24. I'm sure around the campfire, he said she would snuggle up to the servant and say, tell me one more time what he's like. Oh, I'd love to. Come here, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you how wonderful and glorious it is there with him and the life that he lives. The Holy Spirit every now and then will snuggle up to you and just tell you about that great husband that we're going to meet one day. So that's the rejoicing that we have to understand that. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He doesn't speak of himself. He only talks of the one we're going to see. Amen. That's his job. That's his job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to deliver the bride safely. He's going to do it. He's restraining. He is keeping the devil at bay. That's what got me down. I just thought the devil was running amok. He is tearing this thing all to pieces. And then I had to realize, like Thessalonians 2 said, that he's letting until he's taken. That word let means to restrain. He is not letting him do one thing. He's withholding to restrain, to hold back. He's not going one step over God's line. Not one. After the Holy Spirit is removed, Satan's full power is given to the Antichrist. Revelation 13:4. The church and the Spirit are going to leave together. We're sealed and we're going to go with him. Amen. I believe that. Like I said last Sunday, chalk me down that believing crowd. That's me. Amen. So we see the Spirit's restraining. We're almost done here for the sake of time. We're almost done. And sanctification's reassurance. This is the point that I loved so much. When I was studying through this, all that first made sense to me. See, I'm human. I'll admit to you. Sometimes it's confusing. And I got down here to verse number 8. And it started talking for a long period of time about the Antichrist and his working. Let's read that. Let's begin at verse 8. I'll explain as we go. Verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed. See? The Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. That wicked speaks of the man of sin, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. That's what I was talking about a second ago. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, and that they might be saved. And for this cause, see, this is where I was having trouble. I was saying, now through here it's told me I'm not going to go through the tribulation period. And he's talking about it in great detail. Verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. He's talking about the tribulation period, what's going to happen. They're going to believe a lie, Brother Silas. They're going to believe it. That word believe right there doesn't mean just to accept something mentally. It means to fight over it. They're going to fight over it. They're going to stand to the point. They'll fight you over that doctrine. They believe it. That's on the scene today. People get mad if you try to talk about it. It's already there. So it says, verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But what's the first word of verse 13? But. Sometimes a great big door swings on a little hinge. Verse 13 is one of those hinges. It's the Spirit's sanctification's reassurance. He explains what's going to be the condition of the world down through verse 12. Verse 13, he gives a contrast. But, he says, let's read verse 13. That's not the end of the story. Verse 13, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, deliverance, through sanctification of the Spirit, and what?
Belief
of the truth. So what's he saying? Verse 13, what he's saying is, but he gives the condition that's going to take place during the tribulation period. He gives them that. He says they're going to be deceived. That's what's going to happen. The Antichrist is going to step on the scene. He's going to bring about a worldwide deception with lying wonders, powers, miracles. These things are going to happen. The world's going to be deceived. It's going to be a time when the whole world will be deceived. You're talking about deception. A lot of people believe in wicked doctrines, Brother Chuck. A lot of people do. But it ain't everybody. At that time, it's going to be a great... But he says, but, Paul says... What he's saying is, it can't happen to you.
Amen.
It can't. Why? Because the Spirit has set us apart for salvation, deliverance. He just described those who are going to be judged. Right? They're going to be judged. They're going to come under condemnation. He says, but that's not you. The whole world is going to fall under the judgment of God. Just like in Noah's day. As the days of Noah were, so shall the coming Son of Man be. The world got judged, didn't it? Yeah. The world's going to get judged again. It's going to happen again. He said, but that's not you. You can't be judged. You've been set apart. That means reserved, for not for deliverance, for judgment, but for deliverance. So we have sanctification's reassurance that we have been set apart for deliverance and for belief of the what? Truth. As opposed to what he just described, the lie. They're going to believe what? A lie. But that's not us. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit within us, sanctifying, setting us apart, and reassuring us of truth. Truth. Amen? Get that. Truth. The church could not go through the tribulation period because the world's going to be set up for deception. And as long as His church stands here, it can't be deceived. It can't happen. It can't happen. Somebody says, you're going to go through the tribulation period one day. No, I'm not. Nan, nanny, boo, boo. No, I'm not. Because I can't be deceived. The Holy Spirit is right here, set me apart for deliverance, sanctification of the Spirit, and belief of the truth. Truth. The church has been set aside as God's agent for truth. Amen. That's good. That's a truth right there. Amen. That blessed me when I got to verse 13 and saw that word but. That word but just, boom, it turned a light on with me to understand that. We've been set apart for belief of the truth. Actually, I missed three things here. First, under that sanctification to reassurance, points number one, verses 8 through 10, protection from phony deception. Verses 11 and 12, protection from powerful delusion. And also you could hit there about how he talks about how that they're going to go through condemnation, which we're protected from that too. You could work that into the outline too. And we've been protection by providential design. We have the sanctification of the Spirit, which means to be set apart. The church was set apart, not for judgment, for deliverance. Not for a lie and deception, but for truth.
Amen.
Amen. This is God's agent for truth. He takes pride in the fact that His church is not deceived. He'd not have it any other way. We're His bride. Amen. We're not being set apart and left alone for the devil just to run amok with. Oh, no. not his church.
Amen.
See, Aaron, you can see there for yourself how he broke it down. Special standing, verse 13. See how precious he talks? What a contrast verse 13 is to verses 8 through 12. Read verse 13 again. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. He just went up to there and talked about how they're going to die and strong delusions going to swallow them up. And, oh, they're going to be deceived. And they're going to fall into condemnation. They're all going to know it's awful, it's awful. He says, but we thank God for you.
Amen.
Paul says, I'm glad it's not going to happen to you. That is not going to happen to you. And I thank God for it. He says, verse 13. He says, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, believe the truth. That's what you're set apart by. You're reserved for truth. If you're here today and saved, you're set apart and reserved for truth and belief of that truth. And the Holy Spirit will see to it. How many times have you ever been going along and the Holy Spirit inside you say, that ain't right. That ain't right. That's that reassuring work. That's not right. He's telling you tonight what he's telling you up there. That's truth. He's nudging you. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. If you'll let him, he will. Amen. He'll tell you because it's truth. Chapter 2 and last of all, verses 15 through 17, the saints' responsibility. It just kind of ends the chapter. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Paul said, now you have a responsibility. Stand fast. You've been told. We've been told now. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God even our Father hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Paul said, I just wrote you was truth. You've been set apart for it. It's just by God's good grace. Thank God. Hallelujah. It's not going to happen. You are not going to see. Now, I made one little last concluding slide, and I'll quit on it. We know we are not in the tribulation period. And I broke it down by the chapter and kind of applied it to us. Number one, because I'm still here.
Amen.
Pinch me. I'm alive. Amen. I'm right here. Tribulation period hadn't begun because I'm standing right here. If it had been, I'd be gone. The Antichrist is not here. Thank God for that.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is still here.
Amen.
Amen. So we know that the tribulation period hadn't begun, Brother Ivan, because he's still here. It won't happen until he's gone. And truth is still being preached. Amen. Truth is still being preached. Well, I thank the Lord for that truth. It's what Brother Barry asked me to do, and I like to go through that. And I hope that our hearts are encouraged. I hope that we hold ourselves to that line of thinking and that way of teaching. Because we're going to get close and see some really bad times, in my opinion. I don't know what we'll see. I mean, the Lord may come back tonight and we'll leave this mess behind, but there could be some tough times ahead. We need some encouragement. We need to know. I mean, there's things that I already know and have seen. It's getting harder and harder to stand for truth. See, that deception is starting to roll more and more. People are starting to come under the web of that deception more and more. It's getting harder and harder to stand for that truth. Why? Because that darkness, the world is starting to get more and more into that. So it's getting harder and harder to stand for truth, isn't it? There's things we could say right there that I don't even want to talk about. End the show. I always say that, don't I? Well, let's be dismissed in a good word of prayer.